There are aspects of the future that we like to try to ignore, but as a Christian, there's some things about the future just thrill me, and not just heaven. But I want to talk this morning about the blessing of growing old. I got one amen. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 92, and I want to make an emphasis that, you know, without the Lord, I don't know how anybody can make it. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, growing old is not a problem. Psalm 92 and verse 13. This ought to have a star beside it. This ought to be... You ought to put a square around these verses. 13 to 15 are very precious verses. Psalm 92 and verse 13. Look at what the Bible says. And I like... You know, there's no comparison to what a human can say. But when God says it, it just rings true in the heart. Psalm 92 and verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. I like that. Verse 14 says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Now, you know, there are three signs of old age. The first one is the loss of memory, and the other two, I forget. You know you're growing old when you are sitting in a park bench and a Boy Scout comes over and helps you cross your legs. When you try and do the hokey pokey and you put your hip in and you put your hip out and it won't come back in. You know, I love this word. You know you're getting old when you look both ways before crossing a room. You know you're getting old when you come to the conclusion that your worst enemy is gravity. That was true, Pat. Eventually, you reach a point where you stop lying about your age and you start bragging about it. That's when you know you're getting old. People fear getting old. They actually have a name for it. It's called gerascophobia. And people don't like to talk about getting old. And for good reason, really. Because the older you get, the more health problems you get. Sickness, pain, suffering is something you really didn't know unless you skinned your knee when you were a child. Pain, it's just something you were protected from. But when you were a child and you got older, but when you get very old, it's something you start to live with and you don't want to look forward to it. With old age comes increased probability of continual sickness, constant decreased physical ability, medical conditions that are fearful, like dementia. We call it Alzheimer's. Heart disease, cancer. Old age comes hand in hand with pain and suffering usually. So people fear it. People are afraid of old age because of aloneness. The world races ahead of you. You can't keep up. Saw a comic where a little kid is talking to his granddad and says, Granddad, did you, when you were, because he was explaining how to use a computer. He was telling his granddad how to use a computer. The little kid says to the granddad, Granddad, did you explain to your granddad how to use the newspaper? You know, the world just races ahead and you feel like, I don't know how to use this thing. Is it a toaster? Is it a computer? What is this thing, you know? And modern young people generally see old people. And believe me, when I got saved, I was 17 years old. And I thought everybody 30 years old and older was old. But people, young people, generally see old people as a burden. Somebody you have to go and visit. Here's a grandmother in her 90s, and she has over 10 children, but when it comes time to taking care of her, they'll give reasons why they're too busy, why they just can't be over there, and grandma's alone. She's worked her butt off trying to take care of those kids, and the kids can't come visit. Old age tends to bring solitude. There are a lot of painful memories with old age. All of us, I don't care who you are, we all had goals and dreams as we started in our life. We envisioned ourselves being somewhere at a certain age. Maybe you wanted to earn a lot of money or have a measure of success, have a family, but when you got to a certain age, you realize you're not where you wanted to be. It can be very painful. The older you get, you spend a lot more time reminiscing, which is dangerous. You remember all the failures instead of the blessings. You carry all the burdens of 60 years instead of realizing Jesus said, cast your burdens on Him. So the older you get, you carry guilt, the memories of sin and regret, and it's terrifying. The older you get, the more you feel undesirable. You don't feel beautiful. A lot of people see face lines and wrinkles, frown lines, sagging skin. I debated whether to say that or not. Brown spots. And they see those things with a sense of awfulness, ugliness. And it really applies, unfortunately, in this modern age to women more than men, because men don't care how they look. But the modern media, the modern commercials are all about beautiful young ladies. And if you are getting a wrinkle, they tell you, quick, use this product. Because you don't want to look like you do. And so people grow old and they get terrified of thinking, oh, I'm not going to be beautiful anymore. And then there's death. Ultimately, it's the end. People fear death. Talking about it generally, death means losing everything. You've had control of your life. You got up when you wanted to get up. You went to bed when you wanted to. You ate what you wanted to. And all of a sudden, it all is taken away from you and you die. We don't like to talk about that as general things in people's conversations. To most people, death is the end of our existence. Or is it? What if God designed us to grow old with Him? What if He designed us to grow old and enjoy it by growing old with Him at our side? You know what Paul said? Paul said that I may finish my course. He's talking about his life. He says that I may finish my course with joy. That I may know Him. See, he had some goals. He said, I want to finish the life that I was started with. And I want to finish with joy. I just got to make sure I finish with Him. For a Christian, the end of this life is nothing but the beginning of eternity. The world may not believe it, but Jesus said heaven is wonderful. And the journey to it is also wonderful. Don't miss out on enjoying life. I know you thought you were really living it up at 16, 17, 18. You had no idea. 25 and 26. I'm getting close to Weston's old age now. 30! 31, all of a sudden, life is over. It is not. Let me tell you, life is good to the very end. Sadly, older folks, even Christians, only get harder and more bitter the older they get. They're missing out on a verse in Ecclesiastes 7:8 that says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. See, we get all excited about a new baby. We get all excited about a new house, a new car. We get all excited about that. But God says you better realize the end is better than the beginning. And you got to get your head around that thing. Don't say, well, I've lived now 25 years. Life is over. I have nothing to show for my... You haven't even started to live. God says we should enjoy growing old. A man once wrote, I like this, person has to wait until the evening to see how splendid the day was. That's a deep statement. Got to wait till the evening to be able to look back and go, that was a good day. That was a good day. Rather than fear growing old, rather than trying to ignore it, I want us to look forward to the future and prepare for the best years ahead. Father, please encourage us this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of having the Bible, hearing it, but don't let it just go in and out. in the same moment. I pray, God, it would sink down deep into our hearts and that we would ponder these things and let them change the way we see the future. I'm glad that you hold it all in your hands. There's nothing that is left to itself. You're working all things together for good. And I pray that you'd encourage everybody this morning, young and old, because no matter what, we're all growing older and we all ought to have the same attitude, the same outlook because of Jesus. Lord, there may be somebody or several who do not have that outlook. They have nothing to hold on to as they grow older, and so fear grips them. There's nothing beyond death's door for them that they know. And yet I beg you, God, please make it very abundantly clear that without Jesus Christ, this is as good as it's going to get. There is an eternity in hell, and they do not need to go there. You died to keep them from there, but they must be born again. They must repent and believe the gospel. So, Lord, I pray somebody gets saved this morning. I pray that everybody gets encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by way of background, I got some good things I've learned about old age. I mean, I'm 48. By the way, my birthday's next month. And I'm turning 49. I know a little bit about growing older. But first thing I want to say is that God has a great view of a long life. He's eternal, amen. He likes things that last forever, amen. He's a great view. Go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, to the right. Did you know God was there when you were conceived and born? Isaiah 46 and verse 3. Again, these ought to be verses. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 66. These are important verses for you to understand about God and His relationship with you, even though maybe you didn't even know Him. Isaiah 46 and verse 3 says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel." We're in Isaiah 46 verse 3. "Which are born," that's a word which means carried, "which are born by me," from where? "From the belly, which are carried from the womb." You know, God was there when you were conceived and born, but He will carry us through to the last step into His presence. Look at verse 4. "And even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar heads," H-O-A-R means white hair, "even to hoar hairs will I carry you." I like that. "I have made, and I will bear," I will carry, "even I will carry and will deliver you." He's saying, even to my presence. I like that. Jesus says, when you die, don't wait for an angel to come get you. Don't wait for Peter. Jesus says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." I appreciate that. I appreciate that. God has been there all the way along. Ooh, drat. There's more I wanted to say, and my thing's not disappearing. Let's see. See if it disappears. There we are. We were designed to live forever. I don't know if you realize it, but life is amazing. Life, when you understand how it works, it should not stop. It is made. Life in the cells in your body are constantly replacing themselves. You don't have the same cells you had when you were born. Every 7 years, every single cell in your body is completely replaced. Throughout those 7 years, they're constantly dividing and replacing themselves. Old cells are dying and being put away. New cells are being regenerated. You should live forever. God made you to live forever. But sin messed it up, didn't it? By one man, sin entered into the world. We cannot blame the devil. Who do we blame? Adam. I hate it when the Bible is so specific. It says, by one man. It should have been by the woman, but it wasn't. Sin messed up everything. Go to Psalm 32. Go back to left, find Psalm 32 and look at how sin, the wages of sin is death. Well, look at Psalm 32 and verse 3. This is David talking about sin in his life and how he tried to ignore it. He tried to just go on with life. And this is you, where you will carry guilt and you know you've done wrong. You know you've said or done taken, ignored, not done what you should have done, and you carry that thing and you just keep silent about it. You don't admit it. You don't go to the person you say you're sorry, that you ought to say you're sorry to. You don't go to God and confess it. And it says, when I kept silence, my bones, what does it say? Waxed old. Grew old through the roaring, through my roaring all the day long. Now look at that contrast. Outside he's silent, but inside he's screaming and it's killing him. Because that's what sin does. Sin sets a time bomb that's going to catch up with you and going to hurt you. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. God was against him. My moisture, all of my youth, is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, think about it. You know, God started off with Adam and Eve. Adam lived 930 years. He had a great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson named Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years. That's the longest living man. Noah lived 950. Gradually, over the years, Seth lived to be 960. But down to Abraham, it got down to about 175 years. Isaac, he lived to be 180. Down to Abraham's grandson Jacob, he lived to be 130 years. Moses said the years of a man at that time were 70. And if by grace you could live to be 80, praise God. But that was the age and the time frame of people's lives. It was not meant to be that way, but sin has its way of wearing us down. I found out that there's no easy way to die. Kids try to find a way, these people who try to commit suicide, they try to find an easy way out. They try to inhale CO2, or they try to slit their wrists, or they try to ingest sleeping pills. There is no easy way to kill yourself, because you were meant to live. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're supposed to breathe. It's hard. If you try, just try it. Just hold your breath. Just keep holding it. Keep holding it. 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Your body will bust in order to get a breath, amen? Because you're meant to breathe. Your heart is meant to beat. You're meant to live. Sin messed it all up, man. A Christian should desire to live as long as God will allow them. Now, maybe you're not going to live to be 100 years old. We read about Eric Liddell, who was a Scottish Christian. His parents were missionaries in China. And he was an Olympian. And he was not going to race on a Sunday in the Olympics. He stood his ground and he says, I'm not racing on the Lord's Day. And he missed out on the race he had been preparing for 4 years for. So they said, well, do you want to race in this race? He said, I haven't prepared for that. And he won it. Got a gold medal. He says, you want to race in this race? And he raced it and won it. Got another gold medal. He became the hero of Scotland. He died at 34. A young age. You know, he did right. And then God said, that's enough. See, God may not have you to live to be 100 years old, but shouldn't you want to live until God says, that's your time? Amen? That's it. I want to live to be 103. Amen? 110, amen? Well, I don't know. There's ugly and then there's really ugly, amen? My wife has to live with that ugliness for 110. Honestly, a Christian should want to live as long as God gives them. Don't cut it short. Don't live the last 20 years of your life as if it's a nightmare. That's the devil's lie. Do you know there are blessings that only come to old age? We read it there in Psalm 92. Let me show you some blessings. You know about them. Go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Chapter 17, verse 6, the first blessing are grandchildren. Amen. I still only got one amen out of that. I mean, you guys, you older folks should be dancing now, amen? Come on. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says this, children's children, translate, grandchildren. Children's children are the crown of young men? No, young men are busy working. They're busy paying bills. They're busy trying to, you know, do all their sports. You know what? When you're an older person, your children's children are the crown of your life. And the glory of children are to look up to their fathers. Man, there's just something about growing old and grandchildren. God knew how to balance it out. Look at Proverbs 20 and verse 29. 20 and 29, there's a blessing. There's a lot of blessings in growing old. There is a beauty that the world cannot fake. You ever see these, I call them Egypts. They're called actors. And you see them, Mr. Clooney. I don't remember his first name. You know, he sells good coffee, but, I mean, he's the heartthrob of girls. You know what he's like without his makeup? You wouldn't want to look at these guys without their makeup because it's a fake. I mean, I thought Botox was only for females. But they do stuff and they make these guys look all kinds of ages. You strip all that off and you look at him and go, he is, capital U, ugly. There is a beauty that God gives, especially to Christian men and women when they get older. Look at your Bible, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is what? I mean, you're 18 years old and you've got a girlfriend saying, look what I can do. You know? I mean, you just show off something, but look at the rest of it. What did I say? 20 verse? 29. And the beauty of old men is the gray head. It makes them look good. You ever see these old-fashioned legal programs where you've got lawyers and in the British courts? What are every one of those guys wearing? I mean, what's weird, man? But they're wearing wigs because they want to act like they have wisdom. Take the wig off and they're bald, or they take the wig off and it's normal hair. Because they knew the biblical statement that there is a beauty with somebody who has white hair. Amen. It is beautiful. The world has ruined it. Look at Job 12:12. We'll go back to the left, go before Psalms, find Job chapter 12, verse 12. Job chapter 12, verse 12. Job 12:12 says this. With the ancient... There you go, Brother Dennis. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days is understanding. You know, when you get older, you have something to say. You've got something to say that actually makes sense. When you were younger, you had ideas and opinions, but now you know what you're talking about, amen? There's wisdom as you get older. Go to Psalm 37. Go to the right, find Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 25, there's a testimony. I don't know why my pictures aren't going away. You have to trust me. Psalm 37, 25. There is a testimony. When you get older, if you've been saved for any amount of time, you can say, God's been very good to me. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 25. Listen to the testimony of David as his old age. I have been young and now am what? And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I guarantee you, if you've been saved, I don't care how stupid you've been, you can look back and say, God's been good to me. God's taken care of me. God's taken care of my kids. And he shouldn't have. But because you're saved, because you're walking with God, David looked back and says, I made some right stupid decisions. I did some stupid sins, but God's been very good. Amen. You know, the older you get, you're going to have a testimony. Amen. That's a blessing. There's another thing. You know what you get? It doesn't say it. Let me see if I can get rid of it here. There we are. You're going to find some real friends. You're going to think all your bar, what do they call them, good time Charlies, are your friends. You're going to find out you're in the hospital, not one of them comes to visit you. You're going to find out doctor reports coming at you, not one of them are sitting there holding your hand, praying with you, talking with you, coming along and just encouraging you. Your real friends will show up when you get older. You better make sure you have some real friends so you can grow old together. Real friends and true love show up, and that's a blessing. The older I get, I know who my friends are. And they are precious to me. They're worth more than everything else. To have those kind of friends who just stay with you for years and years and decades and decades. And in God's grace, look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God's grace just becomes greater the weaker you get. 2 Corinthians 12:9. See, a doctor can't talk like this. He's going to say it's going to get harder. It's going to get harder to face this thing. You know what Paul says? I glory in it. I rejoice in it. I look forward to it. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he, Jesus, said unto me, you ought to circle the word me, put you in there. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, how strong is Jesus? Awesome strength. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul then goes on, he says, most gladly therefore, most gladly will I glory, I rather glory in my, that's a good word, or hospitals, what did hospitals used to be called? Infirmaries. Places for weak people. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How come nobody ever says that on the advertising? How come nobody says that when you get older, God's grace gets greater? How come nobody tells us there is more grace for me when I'm 50 than there was when I was 15? Amen. You see, we think, oh, he's weak, he's useless, she can't help. You don't realize God's plugged into them better than he is plugged into you. Amen. There's a test. There's something that comes only with old age. And in this church, folks, we're going to honor growing old. I want us, hey, we're going to grow old. Amen. This church is 18 years here since June. 18 years. I've seen some of you grow old. I'm included with you. I've seen people, I love people coming in, but you know, I'm at a church where people come, they stay, and then we grow old, amen? New people come in, and they look, and they go, look at those, old people. Amen? I just want to look and go, well, they ain't cranky. Amen? And we're going to grow old, and I want us to grow old the right way. And if we are, folks, look at Leviticus 19:32. I bet you never really paid attention to this verse, but it says, thou, talking to young people alike, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, before the gray head. And honor the face of the old man. And fear thy God. I look at how he put that together, man. You say, well, I love God. I fear God. Do you honor the older folks? We're going to. We're going to honor growing old. We're not going to fear it. The older folks mean something to us because they're the stabilizing factor in this church. They're the ones that will be here Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wednesday night. Amen. I like it when everybody's here. But I like it when there are people who are faithful and dependable. They've messed around with the world. They know there's nothing out there. Some of the younger kids are like, well, I haven't had my fun yet. Which means you haven't gotten your scars yet. The older folks are aware. I'm going to stand up and I said, I look up to that man. I listen to that woman. They're my counsel. They're my wisdom. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. Some of you parents don't take it seriously. Your parents, that your kids are supposed to honor you. The reason why they don't honor anybody is because you never demanded that they honor you. They don't honor their teachers. They don't honor anybody. And you're just raising a little demon time bomb. Because you never taught them that you're the boss. Amen. And so when it comes time that somebody tries to bring them under control, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look and go. And so it'll be a shame to you. Proverbs 23:22 says, hearken unto the father. Listen to this. Hearken unto thy father at the beginning. Well, I listened to him when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. Watch this. And despise not thy mother when she is. You better listen to your parents as long as they're alive. As a matter of fact, when they're gone, you're going to wish you had them back. Honor them. We're going to honor growing old. We're going to learn how to enjoy it. Let me give you some things that I learned in the last few weeks on how to enjoy living long on the earth. That's what I want to look like at. Can I say 80? What do I say? Amen. Amen. First thing you better do is you better fear God. Psalm 128 says there is a blessing of long life on those that fear God. Psalm 128, six short verses that really get right to the punch. Psalm 128, verse 1. It's actually a picture of Leo and Pat last night in the kitchen. That was you guys. Just wasn't that clear through the window. Sorry. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that what? Feareth the Lord. Doesn't just, hey, listen, you want to respect God? You start with fearing Him. Fear getting Him upset. Amen. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You'll enjoy the fruit of your labor, your work. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You know, if you fear God, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. I mean, she'll just grow and grow by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Zion's another name for heaven. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, watch this. Thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. You'll live a long life if you fear God. To fear God, man. You know what we do? We fear the hospital, man. We fear doctors, cancer treatments. I'm afraid of needles. I mean, if I'm watching a film and they bring out a needle and put it into somebody's arm, I'm like, can't do it, man. My mom said I had the handwriting of a doctor, but that was it. That was it, man. Needles. The doctor when I was a kid was a torture agent for the SS or something. I don't know. The trip to the doctor when I was a young kid, I'd be asking, Mom, is he going to give me a shot? No, I mean, they're liars. No, honey, they're just going to take your temperature. Why do they put it back there? Drop your trousers, Mr. Ledbetter. I'm just taking your temperature. Bam! Give that shot in your rear end. I mean, I have an aversion to needles. Good night. And then the nurse would come in and go, oh, would you like a sweet? And to distract you for a moment, man. Good night. We fear those things. We fear them. But we neglect to fear God. He's the one you're going to have to answer to. He's the one you're going to face and you're going to have nothing to stand on. Do you want to live long? Fear God. I mean, listen to that book like He's talking to you. When you come to the church, you say, God, speak to me today. I don't want to miss listening from you. I don't want to live another week where I'm going to have to regret and have to get things right that I could have gotten, had protected myself from if I had listened. The Bible says we will reap what we sow. Well, it's time that we start reaping some good things that we've sown because we pay attention and we fear God. Secondly, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. All of these verses tell us how to live long on the earth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. When you found that, also find Proverbs chapter 3 with your left hand. Ephesians 6 and Proverbs 3. Ephesians 6, we started with this, but I want you to see the promise that's in this verse. That actually came from Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children. Hey, what's the Bible written to? Not just adults, it's written to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that's all he had to say, didn't he? All God has to say is do it, because it's right to do, amen? But he didn't stop there. Honor thy father and mother. You know, you can obey and not honor them. You ever notice that? You can go, okay, but I don't want to. That's not honoring, is it?
That's right.
Honor thy father and thy mother. Why? It is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, you have a good life, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. God promised a long life if you just honor your parents. Do you know, unsaved people learn that. A lot of folks who may never get saved live to be 80, 90 years old, smoking, drinking. What's the key to a long life? They honored their parents. You know, when I got saved, I learned this verse, and I was afraid of one thing, dying early, because I did not honor my parents. Treated them like dirt. Tried to make up for it since then. honor your parents. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, "My son, forget not my law." This is Solomon teaching his son Rehoboam. He says, "Don't forget my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." This is a dad saying, "I gave you some instructions, I expect you to obey them." Amen. "Keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee." Your dad's rules are good. Come on, ladies, gentlemen, young people, let's say amen.
Amen.
Well, my dad's rules are stupid. That's only because you're not 10 years older. You turn 10 years older, you go, "Man, my dad was smart." It happens. Honor your parents enough to obey them. Look at chapter 3, still in Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth" what? "And the man that getteth understanding. Learn wisdom from your parents, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold." She, talking about wisdom like a girlfriend, "she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her," unto wisdom. "Length of days is where? In her right hand." When you get wisdom, right there with wisdom is length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Honor your parents. Get wisdom. What does that mean? It means listen to them. That's the attitude of every teen. You know where they got that attitude from? It starts in the heart. But most of our parents didn't want it. We tried to control it. But you know where that attitude comes from? That stupid idiot box you let your kids watch 6 hours a day. They get that attitude from hanging around with the wrong friends. You see, you say, "I just have so much trouble at home." What are you letting in? What are you feeding? The Bible says if you're going to honor your parents, obey them, it means start with listening to them. You're still in Proverbs. Look in chapter 4 and verse 10. Again, a dad. This is yes, God talking to us, but this is Solomon writing his wisdom for his own son, Rehoboam. Isn't that cool? He took time to write, and he said this in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Listen to him. Quit ignoring the greatest gift God gave you besides Jesus Christ. Your parents and your grandparents. Say, "Well, my parents, they never got saved." Your parents have more wisdom than you do, even from their mistakes. Secondly, not only listen to them, you know, you ought to just sit and listen to them. It's not only what they say, but what they don't say. That actually will teach you stuff, man. When I got saved, I had a 93-year-old great-grandmother. Her name was Great-Grandma Craig. That was her surname. That's where I got my name from. And she lived in her house until she was like 89, and then she fell, broke her hip, and put her in a nursing home. But I'd go and see her up until I think she died at 95, and I'd go and see her, and I'd spend hours. I mean, she'd tell me stuff, another planet. I never knew the kind of things. I mean, fantastic. I have a depth of understanding of history because of my great-grandmother connecting me with it. I appreciate it. Gave me an appreciation, so I look back in my family history. I found out one of my descendants fought and died in the Alamo. His name was George Lamb. There's a whole county in Texas named after him. I would never have realized that there were some people in my descendants that actually did something. Lived and died for it. Amen. Because I listened. Then you need to obey. See, if you're going to honor your parents, say, "Hi, Dad, hi, Mom, I love you," and then not obey them, you're a fool. You know, if your parents tell you to do something and it's not wrong to do, guess what you have to do? You have to do it. I don't know if they tell you to go jump off a cliff, you know, maybe they do that all the time, I don't know. But if they tell you to do something that's not wrong to do, guess what you have to do? If your parents, "Oh, I love this. Dylan, if Dad comes in and says, it is 7:30, it's time for bed." I said, "Dylan," I meant Rowan. "Rowan," so "Rowan, it's time for bed, 7:30. Is it wrong for Dad? I know you're going to say, yes, it's wrong. But is it wrong for Dad to say, it's time for bed at 7:30? No, it's not sinful. It's not anti-biblical. Guess what Rowan needs to do? Yes, Daddy. Amen. Can I read my Bible while I'm in bed? I'm going to read 40 chapters. Amen. Amen. We pick and choose. And the Bible says if you want to live long, maybe you don't want to live long. I do. I've seen what I've been, and I know where I want to be. I know what's in the past. I know the failures. I know the heartaches. But I know that God is greater the older I get. I want to enjoy that more than I've enjoyed my past. Yeah. Amen. Obey Him. If you want to die early, then go right ahead and listen to Eminem. Go ahead and listen to all these people called rap. Some of the filthiest singers in their life. You know, in the past 20 years, I have a list of about 50 people. All rap singers. And I won't even list their names because they're filthy. They all have double, triple meanings, and they're wicked.
Right.
In the past 20 years, over 50 rap singers have been murdered or died from heart attacks. And from overdoses before they were 35 years old. That's the life of a rap singer. And you see them there on MTV and it's going, you know what they are? They're snakes. That's what snakes do when they move. Those stupid women and they're moving and stuff is what a cobra does before they strike. And all that stuff, that rap star, and he's like this, and he's like this. Then you find out the bird's dead. Because of an overdose. Or because some other rap star shot him. Because he saw him with his girl. Amen. If you want to die early, go right ahead. I want to live long. And your parents never would have encouraged you to listen to that rubbish. Amen. Your parents are a whole lot smarter than those stupid guys. Look at, you're in Proverbs. Go to the right. Find Ecclesiastes. The next book, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I love this verse. Brother Dan, I still remember discovering this verse. I mean, the first couple of times I read my Bible, it was like looking for gold. Because every time I saw a verse, it would jump out at me. I'd put a star by it. I still have my first real Bible I got after I got saved. And it's all marked up where I discovered things. And you know, I hope you're discovering some things. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at this verse. Because I was still stuck in the old music when I got saved. And it took maybe about 2 years to get it all out of me. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 5 says this. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. That's your preacher right now. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than the song of what? Than for a man to hear the song of fools. Sitting there, you got in your ear, you got all that rubbish going in from Eminem and Peanuts and Dirt Bag and 50 Cent and all those stupid names. You know, your parents are a whole lot wiser than those stupid people. Amen. Amen. It's better to hear the rebuke. It's better to hear somebody telling you off than to hear all that rubbish coming into your brain. You ought to ask your parents' opinion about what you should do, who you should marry. Before you ever think you're in love, you better say, Dad, Mom, am I ready for this? Amen. That's how you do it. Ask their opinion. We don't have time. I'm going to move through. Deuteronomy 32 says, ask of your parents. Ask them about the former days. Ask them if they have anything that will help you now from their mistakes. Amen. Then thank them. One of the least appreciated jobs is that of being a parent. And you need to look at your parents and say, thank you for trying to invest in me. That's how you honor your parents. You need to just hug them and say, thank you. God gave me a gift when He gave me you. Thank Him. Praise them. You're the best dad in the world. Amen. Don't just buy them a cup and says it. Tell them that. Praise them. Protect their feelings, man, would you? Can you imagine the hurt? You may say, oh, it's great. I was glad to be able to come and see your dad. Amen. And as you go out the door, say to your kids, well, I'm glad that's over with. Protect them, man. Treat them like royalty. Not like dirt anymore. Our kids, our blessed kids, having saved moms and dads. If they have at least one saved mom or dad, they are rich kids. And if you're one of those kids, you need to realize you're, even if they're not saved, but if one of them is saved, they're royalty. They are a blessing to you. Honor them. You want to live long. Secondly, get wise counsel. I already read it there. But get wise counsel from them.
I move stuff around.
Already said these things. Look at Proverbs 6:23. This is a good one. I had cut this out and moved it around because I was trying to make for time. But Proverbs 6:23 says this. Proverbs 6:23. Some people, they go to church because they want to get a good feeling, and they go to church because they just kind of want to go and reflect and all this stuff. But listen to what a real biblical church is like. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 30. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. God's law is like a lamp. And the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You want to live long? Find out what you're doing wrong. We grew up, you know what we did with our kids? You know, we'd say, oh, you're the best boy. Oh, you're so smart. Oh, this is our son. We're so proud of him. You know, there comes a time when you look at him and says, you did wrong. Amen. That's how you get them to grow up. Amen. And when you come to church, and if I do get on your case, go, praise God, because that's the way of life. Amen. Older men and women, Titus 2 says, older women have a responsibility to teach younger women. Older men have a responsibility to teach younger men because they are stupid. They need help. Amen. God speaks through your authorities in your life. Thank God for that. Say, well, I don't have any authorities. Then you're going to die early. Go right ahead, man. Live right. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11 says some amazing challenge here. Psalm 34, verse 11. Also find 1 Timothy 4 on the right hand. Psalm 34, and then 1 Timothy 4. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Look what he gives. He gives a list. He says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking, we'd say lies, from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Leave it alone and do good. Seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You want God's blessings? He's going to be blessing those who live right. And his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. In their life early, and people won't even remember them. Live right. 1 Timothy 4:8. Look at this. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this. For bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit you, but it profits little compared to this. But godliness is profitable unto all things, is beneficial unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is. It gives us life now, and of that which is to come. You know, it just means doing things God's way. It's not that hard. Godly living lengthens your day. Sinful living does what? Shortens them. Every cigarette you put into your mouth, they say, cuts off 40 minutes out of your life. Or every, I don't know, I forget it. You say, well, I can live with that. How many of you smoked? You look over the years, 30,000 of them? Wonder how long you're going to live. It's kind of crazy. People don't think. It says, hadn't hurt me yet. Keyword yet. Godly living will lengthen your days. I mean, if you want to live long, live right. Stupid living strips years from your life. You know what we need to have? We need to have a clean conscience. I mean, you know what that means? When you do wrong, you make it right. You say something wrong, you make it up to them. You hurt somebody or you don't do something for somebody, you keep your conscience clear. You've done your best. They may never forgive you, but you're going to try to make it right. Have a clean conscience. You know what that does? Reduces stress. People pay good money to get people to be able to go, I can do it for free. Just say, I'm sorry. Amen. Reduces a lot of stress. Amen. Clean conscience. How about godly thoughts? A restrained imagination. Amen. I don't like to go down that path. I don't like to think those thoughts. Amen. That will enable you to live longer. You know, it's really good when some kid does not know what the newest movie is about. It's really great when some kids, Christian kids, have no idea some new CD that's out or some new music song that's out. Amen. It's nice to just restrain and say, you know, I'm too busy. I got other things. I got my schedule full up. I don't need to listen to everything that's new because it's all filth. Godly thoughts. How about a pure body, man? You know, you ought to realize, you know why marriages aren't lasting? Because it didn't start off right. I am shocked at the amount, and I'm really, when I find out how many people weren't virgin when they got married. You say, well, this is the way we live. No, it's the way you end up in divorce. It's the way to ruin a marriage. You want a marriage to last? You may have blown it, but get your kids to stay clean and pure until marriage. It'll make it last a lot longer. You see, we're kind of trying to prop up our kids. Be safe now. Boy, that's got new meaning, doesn't it? We prop them up and prepare them for dating and for abuse, mental, physical, everything. And then we expect them to get married and live happily ever after. It won't happen. You're looking at me, being real quiet. But I am shocked at the abuse of what God gave you. You look at a little kid, 5, 6, 7 years old. Do you want that kid like a pincushion? Used and abused by somebody? No, you don't. And yet by the time they get 14, 15, that's all they're going to be because you have not prepared them for purity. And you're wondering, well, my son got married, my daughter got married, and it's only been 2 years and they're already splitting up. Yeah, just like the movies. Just like all the movie stars. They're just following their pattern. How come they're not following us? We're not teaching them. We're not teaching our kids, stay right, stay pure, don't mess, don't even touch the opposite sex. I never kissed a girl until Nita. My pastor told me, I asked him, I said, I was kind of like joking, I said, he was going through marriage counseling, he was talking to me alone, and I said, how do you kiss a girl? He says, I'll explain it to you. We get closer. Because I was like, I'm going to miss the mouth. I know I will. I was just afraid when he says, you kiss a bride. I'm like, well, when we got up and we're standing there and Nita hadn't come down the aisle yet, I'm standing there and I looked at him and I went, you forgot to tell me how to kiss. He said, it'll come. It did. See, I don't mind being the exception to the rule. I don't mind standing up here and saying that it works. Yeah, it's hard being married. Yeah, there's everything that can go against you will, but I don't want to add anything to it. I don't want to make it harder for the marriage to last. Amen. Our kids need to realize that if they want to live long, if they want to have a long marriage, they need to start off pure. Amen. You say, well, people think I'm crazy. They already do. You're already a nut. You're already a fool. Might as well just be a fool for Christ. Amen. Live right. Make for a long life. How about taking care of your health? Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back to the left, find 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this. Verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, wow, go back to verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth where? It's in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God kill. Just put it right in there. He's going to kill you early. Kill you dead. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, you look wise to the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. You know what you need to do? You need to take care of your health. You were given pretty good health when you got born, weren't you? Amen. You could stay up all hours. You could eat anything. You remember, you could live on Kit Kat bars for a week, man. Can't do it anymore. Not unless they're high in fiber. Somewhere around 14, 15, you started abusing it. Smoking late nights, never getting enough sleep. Staying in bed till 4 in the afternoon. Eating Chinese food all the time, Weston. Take care of your health. Chinese food is not health food. Take care of your health. Exercise, guys. You shouldn't have to say this. I shouldn't, but I'm looking at people who don't exercise. I'm looking at people. You spend more time in front of the television than you do in front of your Bible. You spend more time on the internet and on Facebook than you do with your kids. You spend more time on your butt than you do on your feet. And if you do, it's just it's stress because you're working. You don't have any time where you're exercising, where you have proper channeling of chemicals around your body so they're balanced. Take care of your health. Your body belongs to God. He expects you to take care of it. Amen. They got one. I got one. I ought to eat lots of fruit. I could just preach on diet for a while. Eat smaller portions. Man, when I came to Ireland, I don't know if it's the same, but when we got here 18 years ago and we sat down, I mean, bam! This thing was massive. It was all like, no, I was used to just getting my own portions, but I mean, the potato, I you could make a meal out of just the potatoes. And then there was the meat. Oh, the meat. Oh. And then everything was huge. I mean, and then now it's all gone now, man. I mean, you go and you pay 20 euros and you get a little bitty, tiny little portions of food. It's sick. But when you're eating, man, if you want to live long, eat right. Work hard. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you should work hard. People pay good money to go to a sauna to sweat. People go down to Spain or southern France so they can get in the heat so they can sweat. I know you ladies mean perspire. Why don't you sweat when you work? Because that's the healthiest thing. God designed us to perspire, get all the toxins out constantly. Live right. Another thing, stay soft. You know the worst thing that happens the older you get? It's called crankiness. Cantankerousness sets in. 1 Peter 5:5. I'm just trying to give you some thoughts on how to grow old with joy. 1 Peter 5:5. Just after Hebrews. Here comes James and then 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's a good verse. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. A right attitude. Well, I was going to say this. A right attitude and a joyful heart is like a fountain of youth. But a hard heart grows old quick. You know, most people just expect to grow old cranky. Not me. I know I can turn out that way, Joseph. If I'm not careful about my thought life, if I'm not careful about how I start to look at people, I can get really, really cranky. And that's wrong. That's sin. I'm supposed to be clothed with humility. Amen? So that I just become subject to other people, man. Whatever they say whatever they want. Do whatever they want. I just want to be a blessing. Amen? The older I get, the more I want to be just a blessing. Did you know it's right to have remorse? You know what remorse is? Remorse is where you're sorry about something in your past. Maybe something you did. It is right to be sorry, amen? It is wrong to have regrets. Oh, I wish I'd never married her. Slap yourself or let me. Well, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, amen. Be sorry for it. But regrets will kill you because they pile up. You can't fix a regret. You have to mortify it. Remorse is good where you say, you know, I did wrong there and I'm sorry, God, and I need you to help me make the best of it and do right in it. Amen. This is how to stay soft. Now, this is just a few things, but if you miss any of these things, you're going to be, you don't have to be old to be cranky. First one is you need to walk with the Lord Jesus throughout every day. If you're mean, like Bill, I mean, just bite people's head off, you know why? Because you haven't spent any time with He who loves us unconditionally. Amen? You spend time with Him and you'll come away, I'm going to give somebody a hug. Amen? Because you just spent time with Jesus. We need to spend time all day long with Jesus. That's how you stay soft. You need to start over a lot. Do you know how old Moses was when he started over? 80 years old. He said, I'm too old to start over. You are not. Look at a man here. Not too long. But he had already done his career, already gone through everything, and God said, now I want you to be a missionary. He could have said, I'm too old. No. That's what you want. Isn't he living proof that God can take really old, really, really old people? Be willing to start over. Start over a lot. You know, the Apostle Paul called himself Paul the Aged. He had already been the greatest theologian Judaism had ever produced next to Gamaliel. He was on his way to be the leader, maybe even the high priest. I don't know what his whole goal was in life. And then God said, let's start over. Jesus said, learn of me now. And he started completely over. Are you willing to start over if the Lord just comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, you've had all of your life, you've done all the things you want to do, now will you do what I want you to do? Be willing to start over. That's how you stay soft. See, if you keep putting God off, if you keep saying no, God, do you know there, I'm glad and I yearn for our young people to say, God, here am I, use me, here am I, send me. If you want me to go to a faraway country and preach the gospel, you want me to go to Caroline, you want me to go to Galway, I'll go. But I'm looking for some older people to say, Lord, you know, I've lived my life. I've lived it all my way, and I've made a mess of it. And I've hit the wall, and there's no joy there. I've got family, I've got kids, I got my job, but God, I want to do something for you. God said, you willing to start over? Let's just go. That's the person who will go all the way to the end. You can change a world. Start over a lot, man. I do it every day, by the way. Strive to have a meek and quiet spirit. You know what that means? Listen a lot. Keep your mouth shut. You know, the older you get, fewer words you say, and the words you do say matter. Keep your spirit, your attitude meek, lowly, and quiet. Try that. You have no right to stay angry. You may have a right to get angry. Come on, nod your head. You have the right to get angry, but you have no right to stay angry. Get back to a meek and quiet spirit, or else you're going to end up like the people that you... Man, you go... I've seen some older folks, man, I tell you what, they may be frail, but their tongue is as sharp as a knife, man. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Amen. Show kindness the same way that God has been kind to you. Amen. Honestly, man. God's been very good to us. That's how you stay soft. Just be kind. Because God ought to kill you and he doesn't, so don't kill them. And praise God more and more. Look at Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 33 says this. This ought to be your life verse for the rest of your life. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I think that's cool. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. I'm never going to let a day... It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, we say that when we're 20, 30, 40, but are we willing to say, as long as I live, no matter how hard it gets, I will praise him. That's how you stay soft. Praise God more and more. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's the fountain of youth. Amen. I read something. This was cute. See if I can find it. You never stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stopped laughing. Yes, that is so right. Amen. I don't mean laugh at people, but laugh. Enjoy things, man. And you'll live long. Love a lot. Aww. I thought that was cute. Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91. I'm trying to help you prepare to live long. Psalm 91 and verse 14. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. Psalm 91 verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, God talking. This is because he, speaking of somebody, has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I'll take care of him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why? Verse 14. Because he set his love on me. Because he decided that his heart was going to be focused on God and not on the world. Amen. Love a lot. Deuteronomy 30, I can't go there just for time, says the responsibility of a Christian is to cleave unto the Lord and to love Him with all the heart. That's crazy. I thought that was only for my wife. You'll never love your wife or your husband like you should until you've learned to love Him. Start with that relationship. Love a lot. It is the best fountain of youth. Matthew 5 now. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. I hope you love God this morning. I hope you actually tell Him you love Him. That's a start. I hope you actually show Him you love Him. So how do you show that you love Him? Next verse. Love your enemies. Matthew chapter 5 verse 43 says this. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully, underline these words, use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His Son, the Son, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Wow. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Publicans were liars. They were connivers. And if ye salute only your brethren, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Love your enemies. Romans chapter 12, let's go there. It's too good to miss. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Romans 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It means get out of the way. For it is written, vengeance belongs to who? To God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if you want to hurt your enemy, ha ha ha. Oh, I love this verse. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, poison him. But we want it to say, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you're going to hurt him bad. You're going to heat coals of fire on his head. You'll make him so mad. He's so nice to me. You just heat coals of fire on his head. Folks, love people. Let God deal with them. And love people in general. Man, I mean, you know, Sharon and Luke, my daughter and her husband, go to church. Their pastor's named Chuck Miller. He had a Sunday dedicated. It's called, it was a random act of kindness Sunday. He said Christians ought to freak the world out just by being kind to them. Just go do some crazy things in the estate that you live, to co-workers or whatever. Find out what somebody needs. Just go take care of it. Just do something, a random act of surprising kindness. He said they had more visitors over the next few weeks than they've ever had in a long time, simply because all of a sudden, their co-workers who had been witnessed to, invited out to church, neighbors had been witnessed to, invited out to church, had somebody come over and mow their grass. Say, do you mind if I mow your grass? And just do it, and not even say, and they knew it. Can I just do such and such or whatever? Or just, you know, family members giving a hug or a kiss out of nowhere, and all of a sudden it freaked everybody out. That's how we ought to live. Amen. Just love people. I'm telling you, that'll reduce the stress so you live longer. One thing, I'm not even going to go really long in it, but it really burdened my heart, is that if you want to live long, I believe you ought to be in the middle of God's will. Because if you're doing God's will, He needs you. Amen? You ever had somebody who was there and they were doing the dishes? If somebody's doing the wear, do you get rid of them? Man, you say, keep going, amen. When you get in the middle of God's will, you're indispensable. God will keep you around until the job is done. I believe that. If you want to live long, I don't care how old you are, find God's will and you'll just linger and stay around, and you'll see your children's children's children, and you'll see peace in Jerusalem. God says you will see the fruit of your efforts. Because you're in the middle of God's will. Find out. You know, Moses at 80 years old started to do God's will. Abraham at 75. Who else? Oh, Jacob. You know how old Jacob was when he finally got right with God and found out what God's will was for him? His will was not to have children, by the way. And he had 13 of them. At 96 years old, Jacob got started doing the will of God. Hobbling along. Amen. Praise God, man. No matter how old you are, you say, God, I don't know what you've designed me for, what you built me for, what you saved me for, but I want to know. Because He has a design for every person in this room. And the lastly, go to Psalm 71 and we'll through with this. Psalm 71 and verse 18. You want to live long? Start to influence your generation. Best thing to do with a teenager is get them out soul winning, go door to door and seeing teenagers how they really are, not at school in their uniforms, but see how messed up they are. See them down at the prison when they're 18 years old already. You get these kids where they see a veneer over youth and they need to see what's really underneath. You need to take them soul winning. You need to take them where they just see life as it really is down where they have the Samaritans and they have all of the different homes and places for people who have messed up and ruined their life. They need to come and sit in on our RU program and meet all the people who on Sunday maybe be here, but it's because of a lot of hard work and a lot of love. But we bring some people in there and they are so broken. Some young person needs to look at them and say, I better reach my generation before they end up like that. Look at this. Psalm 71 verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. That's a powerful verse. You know, instead of leaving it for dad or preacher or mom or, you know, to the guys who really are good at it, how about putting yourself in there? So, well, the older I get, the more I want to reach my generation. You know, I remember when I was teaching the teenagers like John, at about 23, I hit a wall. The teenagers didn't listen to me anymore. Now, you're way beyond that, so. But I would tell stories, and they'd look at me, that is so ancient. I mean, they didn't know the songs I knew. My history was like a whole nother dispensation between where I had lived and where these teenagers were. But my burden was to reach this generation, because those kids, if somebody doesn't invest in them, where are they going to be? They don't even have to wait until they're 50 years old before they're ruined. They can be 25 and their life is gone. They could end up sterile, without children, without hope, and without God. The older we get, the more responsibility we have to this generation. How many churches are being started all over the world? How many preachers are going out and preaching the gospel? Listen, don't leave it to the preachers and the churches, because there's not enough of them. We're going to have Christians taking responsibility, not only for our children, our grandchildren, but for this generation that's out there. They need us to speak up. They tell us to shut up, but we ain't shutting up. We have something that's going to make a difference between ruin and the survival of theirs in this nation. By way of conclusion, don't miss out on the blessings that are ahead for the Christian who lives long. God designed us to grow old with Him at our side. Sadly, older folks, even Christians, only get harder and more bitter. I get embarrassed knowing how many Christians have fallen off the map because they got bitter, got hard. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. That's not God. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. There are blessings that only come into old age, older. Think about the blessings, grandchildren. You never know what they are until you get them, and then you never want to let go of them. You want to clone them, amen? You know how to enjoy growing old? Fear God. Don't fear death. Don't fear your enemies. Don't fear old age. Fear God. That's where it starts. You know why I got saved? Because I didn't want to go to hell. Do you know why I take that Bible seriously? Because I take God seriously. He wrote it. I'm a Texan. I don't speak the King's English, but I learned it because God wrote it. Amen? Honor and obey your parents. You want to live long? You need to look at your dad in the eyes when he's talking to you Amen. You need to honor your mom when she says something, even if it's flippantly. You need to go, yes, ma'am. Don't go, yeah. Sure. Okay. I bet you won't talk that way to your boss. Honor and obey your parents. Live right. I'm dead serious. They're like, the unsaved will live longer than Christians. Are you listening to me? An unsaved teenager who gets away with so much sin is going to live longer than Christians. You know why? Because we know better. And God holds us more responsible. And so Christians will die younger than the world's kids do. That kills me. We know better. Live right. You know what's right to do now. Stay soft and humble, man. Somebody rebukes you, say thank you. It'll hurt. Somebody says, that was wrong. This is how you do it right. You go, I wasn't asking for your advice. You know what? God may have been preparing you. Just listen, and you know what? You'll earn the respect of that adult if you just say thank you. Love a lot. I mean, people coming to this church, they know there's a love here. Let's keep it up. Let's make sure it just oozes where people know this is a place that people are loved. I don't care who they are. Discover the will of God. I can't tell you how much more fun Dan is having now than he was when he was lifting cranes and throwing stuff out against walls and stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Discover the will of God. I don't care how old you are. And influence this generation. If you want to live older, if you want to live long and make an impact, God will go, man, I got to keep them around. Let's stand for prayer.